It's 5:30 in the morning. I'm not going to pretend I look great. I'm not going to fake it, because I don't. I look terrible. My eyes look like two pee holes in the snow this morning because it's so early. And I just woke up. I don't know. I wake up and bang, I start thinking. I can't get back to sleep. So here I am, 5:30 a.m. on a Monday. Martin Zender here, starting a new week of the Revelation series. I'm going to answer a couple of your questions today. I listen to you. You ask me things. And they're great questions. Martin, Damascus is destroyed. Damascus is prophesied to be destroyed. It exists today. When is this going to happen and what should we do about it? I'm going to tell you when it is going to happen and exactly what you should do about it. And people say, Martin, you say that people are going to die a second time. But Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed unto men once to die after this a judgment. What's that all about? Well, I'm going to tell you that too, but some people die three times. I'll have you know, it could be. Back in the day, some people rose from the dead, you remember? At Jesus' resurrection, 500 came from the tombs. What if those people weren't so hot? We assume they were worthy people. Why? They might have been real jerks. So they rose from the dead, and they died again, because they're not with us today. I don't think so. I haven't heard any news reports about these people. So they've already died twice. Let's say they go to the Great White Throne. They were jerks. Their books are not written in the Book of Life. Harold Schmidt, I don't see you. And it's just like in the movie, the Monty Python movie and the Holy Grail, the little troll at the base of the bridge pulls the lever and boing, 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 off you go into the... abyss. No, you go into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So some people will die three times. So what's that verse all about in Hebrews? People take it out of context. I don't do that. I will explain that to you. But first, a little politics. Again, I apologize if you're not interested in hearing about Donald Trump or politics, or the political landscape. Then don't listen to the next 2 minutes. I'm going to rant a little bit. But listen, this is what I think is going to happen. I believe that Donald Trump is going to broker a peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians, and people are going to be agape and aghast. How did this happen? It's going to be an amazing feat of statesmanship and statescraft. It's because Trump gets stuff done. He just goes and does it. He doesn't sit around and talk about it. He just does it. And he's a deal maker. So he's going to bring these two parties together, I predict, and it's going to be great. And listen, the day has to come when all the detractors are going to have to say, man, I can't deny it anymore. Trump is great. And it's at that point that I'm going to say, what do you mean? It's the Antichrist. Let me slow down a little bit on that. Now listen, we're going to start getting our own fuel, our own source of gas and oil and coal. All these things, Trump's putting the coal industry back into business. Great, it's cheap energy. How would you like 30 cents a gallon gasoline? No, not $1.30, 30 cents a gallon. I remember, I'm a young guy, and yet I remember as a kid when gas was 30 cents a gallon. I remember when it was 22 cents. There used to be gas wars, and the stations would compete with one another. Down, down, down they'd go. My mom would drive all over town, burning all her gasoline, trying to find gas 1 cent cheaper, because it's the gas war, don't you see? And you have to find the cheapest gas. So all of the detractors now who are whining about how mean Donald Trump is, well, they're going to change their tune when gas is 30 cents a gallon, when there's peace in Israel, when their jobs come back to this country because of a decrease, an 80% decrease in regulations, a decrease in taxes, no longer penalizing achievers and giving it to underachievers or non-achievers. And it's going to be, if you don't work, neither shall you eat. Great principle. We're still going to take care of the poorest among us, but we're going to enter a period of prosperity. There's a girl staying with us here, a boarder here at my home in Fort Lauderdale, and we got into a political discussion one day. It was ugly. I didn't bring it up, believe me. She said, you know, I'm going to move to another country. I'm thinking I'm going to move to Jamaica or Aruba. I want to take it to Bermuda, Bahama. I said, come on, pretty mama. Why are you going to move from the U.S. of A? We at the great country. She said, this country sucks, basically, and it's going to be a horrible place to live in the next 2 years. I said, baby, why don't we go down to Kokomo? I said, we'll get there fast and then we'll take it slow. No, I didn't say that. What I said was, well, she did want to go to some some Caribbean island. I said, no. In the next 2 years, America is going to experience a renaissance. And I said, you will be missing out on the best years of America because she hates Trump. Hates Trump. Trump's a piece of shit, according to her. I said, you're far from the truth. Far from the truth. Far from the truth. And, you know, Trump is working for those who hate him right now because he's working for all Americans. I honestly believe that. Because, again, this is not, he's not doing it for the money. He's not doing it for the glory. He's not doing it for the prestige of the office. He doesn't give a crap about Air Force One. He's used to traveling in private jumbo jets. He took a pay cut. He's not taking any pay. And so this is not like a power trip for him. He's been there, done that. But that's what distinguishes him from most politicians. Most politicians, the office of president is a power trip, and they're just there to soak it up, and they're just there to impress people. You see how Obama used to come down the steps of Air Force One all jaunty. All he cared about was the prestige of the office, and he didn't do much. But Trump's just gonna, he's there just to get stuff done. It's an office job for Trump. It's great. But the weird thing's going to happen, I predict this, as all these wonderful things happen, people are going to go, God, I was wrong about Trump, he's great, he's the savior. And it's at that point that I'm going to say, don't you know, this is the freaking Antichrist. Isn't that going to be fun? It's going to be a total switch around, but people hate Trump today for the wrong reasons. Then they're going to love Trump, and I'm going to go, but listen, what's going to happen is, this is all assuming the premise that the man of lawlessness is going to be someone like Trump, going to get things done, going to be great, going to be loved. Remember this key verse. I have to tell you this over and over again. The man of lawlessness is going to be someone that could deceive even the elect if it were possible. So the elect, those who are chosen of God, who know better, are going to be pulled into it like, God, this is great. I love it. And be careful of that. But see, the man of lawlessness is going to sustain a head injury, which will be an assassination attempt, I believe, and it either will actually die or will appear to be dead and then will recover. And at that point, let's say it is Trump, God forbid, but let's say it is Trump. It's got to be somebody. It's no longer going to be Trump. It's going to be then possessed by a supernatural being, possibly Satan himself. It's going to look like Trump. It's going to sound like Trump. It's going to be the same hair, but it's not going to be Trump. Just like the Judas thing. Judas was completely possessed by Satan. It looked like Judas, sounded like Judas, it even smelled like Judas, but it wasn't Judas. And when Satan departed from that poor man, then he realized the heinousness of what he had done, and he hung himself from a tree, fell from the tree, the rope broke, and he was disemboweled upon a rock. That's an ignoble way to die. The only more ignoble thing would be to be hit in the head by a coconut that falls from a palm tree, which is a real threat down here in South Florida. I'll have you know, I try to avoid it. I do not sit under palm trees. I sit away from them and admire them from afar. So at that point, people are going to be singing Trump's praises, even his detractors today. All the snowflakes and the whiners and the babies are going to be going, he's pretty good after all. And then I'm going to be the one saying, this is freaking Antichrist. What are you talking about? I look forward to that day. It's going to be great. You got to feel sorry for Judas Iscariot, that he was destined to play this role and that Satan had to inhabit him. And you have to feel sorry for the man of lawlessness, whoever it may be, that the powers of darkness are going to inhabit this person. And basically, it's not going to be the person anymore. Okay? It's a sad situation. This is my prediction. So anyway, to the question, somebody said, Martin, Damascus is to be destroyed. There's a prophecy. When's it going to happen? All right, I'm going to briefly answer that question. And for that, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 17. And where is this? Isaiah. Oh, yeah, it's in Isaiah. The prophecy about Damascus. That's a noble title for the chapter. I can just hear Isaiah saying, attention, ladies and gentlemen, this is a prophecy about Damascus. So practical. Behold, Damascus is about to be removed from being a city. This is the New American Standard Bible. I love that direct statement. It's about to be removed from being a city and will become a fallen ruin. This hasn't happened yet, ladies and gentlemen, because as I speak to you, Damascus is still existent. It's still intact as a city. But it won't be long. I believe it'll be destroyed. We get a clue here as to when this is going to happen. The cities of Aroer are forsaken. I didn't invent the name of this town. A-R-O-E-R. Cities of Aroer. Must be a district, not a town, because there are cities in Aroer. Aroer. A-R-O-E-R. How do you pronounce that? I'm doing my best here. They will be for flocks to lie down in. In other words, these great cities are going to become like pastures The fortified city will disappear from Ephraim. The fortified city, Damascus, is going to disappear from Ephraim. It's fortified today, even not by a wall necessarily. Like, does Damascus still have a wall? Could be. I don't know. And sovereignty will be taken away in the remnant of Aram. They will be like the glory of the sons of Israel, declares the Lord of hosts. It will be like the glory of the sons of Israel. I would say that would be a fading glory, because the sons of Israel were great in their day, and now they faded because they don't even believe in Jesus. Verse 4, now in that day the glory of Jacob will fade. Oh, there it is. I'm right on there. And the fatness of his flesh will become lean. It will be even like the reaper gathering the standing grain as his arm harvests the ears. Or it will be like the one gleaning ears of grain in the valley of Rephaim. Yes, I love it when that happens. When people glean ears of grain in the valley of Rephaim, I love that. And I always compare other things to it. You know, this is going to be just like people gathering, reaping grain in the valley of Ephraim. Love it. It's going to be just like that. Yet gleanings will be left in it like the shaking of an olive tree. So we're going from corn to olives. This is a mixed metaphor. Isaiah is losing it here, if you ask me. Still, he's under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He has to talk about this. He has to mix his metaphors. He has no other choice. In other words, there's going to be a remnant of Israel that are going to be saved out of this disaster. All the cities of the nations are going to fall. Why Damascus is pointed out here specifically, I don't know, because it's great. We're Damascus. Oh, well, yeah, you are Damascus, and you are going to be removed from being a city. That's all I have to say about that. I think it's going to happen during the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. My advice to you, do not move to Damascus. This is what I say to you this morning at 5:30 a.m., don't move to Damascus. Now, on to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. This verse is totally taken out of context. Here's what it says. And inasmuch as it is reserved, this is from the Concordant Version. But first, I'm going to misread it as it reads in most translations. Inasmuch as it is reserved to the men to be dying once, yet after this a judging, thus Christ also being offered once for the bearing of the sins of many, and so on. But people isolate this. It's appointed unto men once to die, then the judgment. In other words, people die once, and then they go to the judgment. And there's the devils over here and the angels over here, and people go to either heaven or hell at that point. And I say, ladies and gentlemen, you have to look at the context. The Apostle Paul is making a point here. He's comparing the priests in Israel to Jesus Christ. Look at this one important point. There's a definite article here. It is appointed to the men to be dying once. The men. Who's the men? It's specifically the people who have been in the purview here in the context the whole time, which is the high priests. Because look, Paul's making a comparison. It is inasmuch it's reserved to the men to be dying once after this a judging. Thus, so there's a comparison, Christ also being offered once for the bearing of the sins of many will be seen a second time to those awaiting him apart from sin for salvation through faith. So there's a parallel here being made between the high priest, the men, and Jesus Christ. So what is this deal with the high priest? Well, let me read now from the Concordant Commentary on the New Testament by A.E. Nock. Oh, did I lose that page? Come now. Don't tell me. Yeah, I had a computer fallout here a little while ago. I'm going to have to go back and do a live study here to concordant.org. This will be good for you. Go to concordant.org. When that page comes up, go to Expositions. Click Expositions. Scroll down a little bit. And you'll see, go all the way down to the yellow part, and you'll see Concordant Commentary on the New Testament. Click on that, and you'll see all the books coming up. Click on Hebrews, and then scroll down to Hebrews 9. This is what I do. This is what I, Martin Zender, do. You can do this yourself. And you'll see Knox's comment on Hebrews 9:27. Very helpful. It's a tricky passage. Knox says this. This is not a general statement, because people say, Martin, some people, it says people, men only die once. How could that be? You say there's a second death. Oh, it's not talking about men in general. This is Nock now. This is not a general statement concerning all men, but the men who have been in view continually, that is the Levitical priests. Read the context here in Hebrews 9. It's about the Levitical priesthood. The word judgment has no reference to the judgment of mankind for sin. People get this broad view of this where it's not broad, it's specific. But this is a setting to rights of those cases in Israel which continued until the death of the high priest. See, that with the death of the high priest, some people were liberated. Watch this. Then he might return to his patrimony. This was okay. The innocent manslayer lived in the city of refuge until the death of the great priest. It sounds wacky. I didn't make it up. It's a law in Israel. Go to Numbers chapter 35, verses 22 through 29. You will read about manslayers. That is those who accidentally killed somebody. Apparently, it happened a lot in Israel. I don't understand how or why, but it did. And they lived in a city of refuge until the death of that great priest, the high priest. When the high priest died, then those people who took refuge in this in a city, nobody could kill them. Because if you accidentally killed somebody, the relatives of the person killed would come after you for revenge. You see, they were all about revenge. But if you went to this specific city of refuge, they couldn't touch you. It was like being under house arrest. But you had to stay in this safe zone. It's like a city of refuge, you see. But once the high priest died, then those people were liberated from there. And see, Paul's making an analogy here between the high priest and Christ. When Christ died, some people were liberated. That is, those awaiting him. And so Paul's using an analogy. So if you were in a city of refuge, if you had accidentally killed someone, you're like looking at your watch like, when's the high priest going to die, Harold? He's been alive for 40 years. As soon as he dies, we get out of here. Somebody poison his oatmeal or something. So as soon as the high priest died, those people were liberated. So likewise, when Christ died, many people were liberated. Okay? Yes. So, and the once has reference to what would happen when the high priest died. It is appointed them to die once. It's confusing. I'll admit it's a difficult passage, but Paul's not suddenly departing from the context, speaking of the high priest going and sacrificing for the sins of Israel, talking about Christ sacrificing for the sins of Israel, talking about the death of Christ and what that did, and comparing it to the death of the high priest and how those in these cities of refuge would be liberated. He's not suddenly departing from that context to give us a brief teaching on death. Oh, by the way, it's appointed unto people once to die, after this a judgment. Okay, back to the high priest. No, he's not doing that. It's all part of a context, a greater context. So this is what I do. I'm a stickler for this. I focus on the context and I bring you the context so you won't be confused about that anymore. Wow, what a productive day. It's only 5:30. It's unbelievable what I've done today so far. I'm pretty pleased with myself. We have determined that you should not move to Damascus. That advice from me to you, free of charge. And we have determined that everything, that America is going to be great again. But you know, when that happens, then don't be deluded, don't be deceived, because things are going to look their best before they go down the tubes. Because the man of lawlessness will eventually be possessed by a powerful spiritual being, if not the adversary himself. Scary times. And we've also learned that some people do die more than once. Some people die twice. Some poor saps die three times. Can you imagine funeral expenses again? Funerals are expensive. Sometimes they're more expensive than weddings. You have to bury somebody three times. Oh my gosh. Except I think it's going to be quite inexpensive to go to the second death from the great white throne. Don't quote me on that. I'm just guessing, but my guess is educated.